Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics and coming to you live and loud from the Yacht Club, Port Hacking. I am your host, Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter and Fox Sports statistician Samuel Shenazzi. How are you, mate?
Hey, Newman, what's happening, brother? We're almost there. It's almost NRL time. We're almost sitting in our seat, locking our belts and getting ready for a long year ahead. Hopefully it's a good one. Everyone get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Pretty soon we're going to be at Shark Park for derby number one of the year. But I'm excited, Newman, as you can tell.
As Samuel so eloquently pointed out, we are but minutes away from kickoff to season 2018 and our realistic tilt at the title for this year. Our first match this year will be against the North Queensland Cowboys. Friday kickoff at 7, probably closer to 8 o'clock. And all the trials are done. All the preseason is done. By the time most of you will be listening to this, you'll probably be getting ready for your first game of NRL for the year. And I, for one, am negative about our chances against the Cowboys. Samuel?
We're up against it, Newman. There's a lot of milestones happening for them. JT, 300th game. He becomes the most capped Cowboy of all time, beating little Matty Bowen. It's going to be...
Can I just butt in there?
Please.
And say, can we have a JT... free zone on this podcast, please.
Yeah.
Because the reason that I am so negative about our prospects is because that bloke, we're not going to mention him by name, just call him that bloke, is an absolute NRL and media darling. And for what? He's a good player. But there are other good players out there that don't get the accolades that he gets.
You'd say he's one of the best in the last 10 years. Maybe even the best. But it doesn't mean he deserves what you're saying.
Jeff,
I agree.
Jeff Robson played in the last 10 years.
I don't get your point, but...
My point is that he is a media darling. Mm. He is an NRL darling. Everybody's been blowing smoke up his ring hole this week. And that's probably the reason why the Cowboys are going to win, because the refs have already penciled in that this needs to be a celebration for the Cowboys and a celebration for that guy. And that means that the Sharks are just there to make up the numbers, which sucks.
You know what we've got? We've got a fired up Newman. I love it. All I was saying was it's going to be hard because of all these things.
No, I agree.
They're a pretty good team.
We are on the same page there.
They're a pretty good team. We've got some milestones too. Luke Lewis, your boyfriend, 100 games for the Sharks.
100 magnificent games of high quality.
One of my main men, bustling Bakuya, 150 NRL games, most of them for the Sharks.
Yep.
So we got some milestones to play for. We're going out there, play to win. I think it's going to be a close one. They usually are, these games between the Cowboys and the Sharks.
I think we'll be up for it.
Yeah.
I absolutely think we'll be up for it. I know for a fact that the squad thinks that they can go up there and win. I just hope... Well, I don't hope. I know for a fact... that everybody else in that stadium, including the officials, the NRL, are going to be riding the Cowboys home on the back of that guy's milestone, and we are going to be battling. And for us to win, we're not just going to have to beat the other blokes against us.
You know who's not going to be riding their coattails? Are the Crosbys. Our dear listeners and friends. They live there now.
When I say they'll be up there, they'll be at the stadium.
I think they're there already. Maddie's been corresponding, telling us about harpoon-like weather.
Harpoon,
is that something?
A harpoon is something that you use to kill a whale.
What am I thinking of?
Typhoon.
Typhoon. It's going to be a typhoon. You know why? You know why I'm thinking harpoon? Because I heard the end of the Jebediah set the other day before I saw the Lemonheads.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, harpoon in my heart. Yeah.
You know what? I used to love the something. Have you ever heard the Something for Kate cover of Harpoon?
I have. Yeah. It was the split they put out. Yeah.
That was a bizarre cover. Where Harpoon was always supposed to be like a Jebediah single that was a bit more serious. And then, out of nowhere, Something for Kate, who were like considered to be a more serious band than Jebediah, came out and covered Harpoon in this like totally earnest way.
Well, it's the only way they know.
Yeah, true, right. In this Fugazi kind of style, and I loved it. And it kind of turned me, I didn't like Something for Cave before that, and it turned me onto them.
This will shock you, Newman. The first album is pretty good by Something for Cave.
Yeah.
You go back and listen to it. It's pretty good.
No, I'm on them now. I'm a fan.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
You know what I'm a fan of?
Harpoons.
Our sponsors.
Absolutely correct. Well, we're on the ads.
Yeah, we'll go to the ads?
No. We don't need to talk about the sponsors. They pay for their ads.
Newman, you're in a strange mood tonight. I don't know what. Oh, what am I in for here?
All right, let's talk footy. Before we talk about the sponsors, let's talk footy.
So I'm the corporate man now, am I?
Yeah, you are.
That's Shanaz. All he cares about is the big bucks.
That's right. So we're back here week to week, Sharkcast Pod, for our third year? Our fourth year.
15, 16, 17, 18.
And I'll tell you what, Sam, I'm pumped. I think this is a big premiership opportunity for us this year.
They call it a window, Newman, and we've had one for a while. We've won one, thankfully. The window's still open, and it'll be open
at least
this year with Gale and Lewis, and then depending on what they do. But this year it is still open.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I think one next year it goes. Whether Lewis and Gallon stay on, they're probably a little bit beyond their prime. So I think the window is open this year, but we've got a really tough start of the season, and we know how tough the Cowboys are going to be. So we're going to have to be good, and you've got to finish top four. So yeah, you've got to win half these games.
Yeah, and with the tough start this year, we want to win on Friday night up there. And you need to just, start well. Win 3 out of 4. If you have to drop one. But just start well. Good middle. Come home strong. You'll be in the top four. Then you got a good shot.
All right. So, no, I was kidding before. We do love our sponsors. We're coming to you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club at Port Hacking, looking out over the magnificent vista. It's a windy old day today, but it's back
harpoon-like.
It was harpoon-like conditions today. And we're looking out over the delicious Port Hacking, having a beer. We enjoyed a delicious meal. But our favorite sponsor is Dyson Logistics. And the exciting news is, because of the input of Dyson Logistics, Sharkcast Pod will be launching a new trucker hat, which we should have in our hands in the next couple of weeks, which we'll be taking advance orders for. Describe the new Sharkcast Pod trucker hat, Samuel.
Can do. You said new. I'm going to say new and best.
Yep.
And that's tough because we've had two pretty good ones.
Yeah.
It's a different color for starters.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reveal what the color is, but it's
something. No, you've got to describe it so people can order it.
It's sky blue.
The whole thing is sky blue except for the patch on the front.
We've got the Retro Sharks logo from, late 80s?
No,
I think it's a bit later. Mid to late 80s. Maybe mid 80s.
It's the comic shark running.
Yeah.
You know, sort of.
The cartoony guy.
Yeah, the cartoony guy bursting through the. If you look at our Facebook profile, you'll see the logo.
Older listeners will know what it is too.
Yeah.
As well as our smarter younger listeners. And it's just brilliant. I genuinely am very happy with the design, which I believe you did.
You kind of.
Kind of. And
it was my idea.
And I'm very appreciative of Dyson Logistics for helping us fund the product.
Yeah, because these hats are like a bespoke or custom. They're not cheap, right?
Right.
So Dyson paid. Not only does he give us, basically pay for us to be on the air, he's donating these hats, which were, you know, normally when you buy bulk items, you get them for way cheaper than what you'd pay for in the store. They are basically what they cost in the store, and he's covering that, and it's awesome. And once you see them, you're going to want one.
Yeah.
So we don't know what the pricing is yet, but it'll be around the $30 mark, I would think, for a trucker hat. But we're not making any money off that. That's cost.
Oh, now you're telling me. Newman, we're on iTunes. We are on
Stitcher.
And importantly, we're on Wooshka, our friends at Wooshka.
Yeah.
We're on Podbean. We're basically every podcast platform you want us to be on. And if we're not, let us know and we'll get on there. Review us, rate us, follow us, subscribe to us. It's free. It's all free. And it's just easy for you guys because as soon as something gets uploaded, it appears wherever you get your podcast.
And don't forget about our other sponsors, Endeavor Property Services. Craig from Endeavor Property Services does pre- and post-sale garden cleanup, so give him a call. And also, of course, Shark Island Brewing Company, the Shire's first Craft Brewing Company, makers of the delicious Shark Island Lager and their delicious new Australian Pale Ale, which we're just sipping on now. Mm. And make sure you head down to the brewery at Kirrawee and grab a couple of six packs for the footy this weekend. So we are going to cut to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we'll have the news, of which there is plenty. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
Dykes. Ettinghausen. Peachy. Fullback playing it.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck, on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes. Local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays. And of course, the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing. It's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio. And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news, a couple of things have happened this week, Samuel, and a headline that flew around was X-Sharks, quote-unquote, legend is in a bit of a strife. Why don't you run us through it?
It wasn't the only thing flying around, the headline.
Oh, boom, boom. Why don't you run us through what happened, Samuel?
I can't tell you. I know that Glenn Coleman is in a bit of strife, a matter before the courts. Something was delivered to his house, didn't go the way he wanted, and he threw something at the person delivering it.
Yeah.
Is that close?
There was a photo of him in the paper with his shirt off. Not a good look.
Do you remember we met him on grand final
night?
He was the nicest guy I've ever met.
And he was so, like, quietly spoken.
Barely drinking? Not drinking,
Not
maybe.
Drinking, no. Quietly spoken and polite and like...
Which I'm sure he is still. It's just, it's a very strange one.
Yeah, it's an odd one. Sharks legend.
No, I didn't agree with that headline.
No.
It's hard to define these things.
Clickbait, you know. They say NRL star involved in fracas and you're like, it's... Some guy who played three games for the Dragons in 2011. You know?
Definitely a star. I don't know if he was a great, but he was definitely a star. He was in the commercial. He scored a lot of tries.
Yep. He was our chairman for a while.
He was a little while, yeah.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens there.
The Sharks Championship.
Don't do it.
Land you in a bit of strife.
Don't do
it. Oh, dear. Speaking of the Sharks Championship, the annual report has been released, and this is a more serious matter of which I want to talk about, Sam.
Please.
And, man, it is a wash in red ink, and it is a real source of worry. Now, a couple of things worth talking about in the annual report. Our debt, which was at $3 million, has essentially doubled to more than $6 million.
Now, when was it at $3 million, approximately?
Okay, so we had a debt of $10 million, which nearly sent us to the wall.
Yep.
Right? And then we did a deal with Bluestone on the development to wipe that debt, right? Almost wipe it entirely out.
Yeah.
And then, so it was reduced to a number like a million or a million and change. Then, to continue operating the club, there was a loan to a guy who I don't know who he is, but he's known locally as the Pizza Man.
The pizza guy, remember that? Yeah.
Yep. And the Pizza Man put money in his own pocket to do a loan to the club to continue operations. And rightly, I think, the membership were a bit put out about it. And saying, hang on, you know, you're signing up this huge loan with the ground as collateral, mind you, to someone who we don't know. You know, it's a members club without a vote. And I remember being at the AGM and Damien Keogh was quite put out about this, saying, look, we did this great deal with the pizza guy. I don't know his name. I'm happy to be corrected on what his name is. Mm. We did this great deal with the pizza guy. It's in the club's favour. Why are you guys pissed about it? And there was this weird moment at the AGM where everyone's like, well, you've signed this, you've basically doubled the club's liability. Nobody voted on it. We don't know the details of it. You say it's a good deal. Are we supposed to take your word for it?
Okay.
Okay.
So fast forward now to around 6 million? Did you say?
Yeah, it's doubled again. Okay, I don't know where I haven't read the annual report in that much detail. I don't know where the other 3 million is owed to, whether it's to a bank or to the pizza man.
Right.
We're
not being disrespectful, we're not.
I know, he's known locally as the pizza man. He's got the pizza, and he's got pizza businesses, and he's a very successful local businessman.
Obviously.
Reputable, not dodgy.
No.
Okay.
No.
The other news in the annual report, which a lot of people have been wondering about, is they are expecting a return from at the completion of the residential side of the development as $21 million. That's the windfall.
In addition to what they've got or in total?
This is it. So what they get once the final unit goes in and the last person moves in is $21 million.
Okay.
When you've got a debt of $6 million, it wipes the debt and it puts $14 million into the club's coffers. And that is about 75% of the operating budget of the Brisbane Broncos for 1 year.
Hmm.
So you make your own determination on whether all of that, on whether the sale of 700 units is worth $20 million to the club. So if I grab my calculator out and say, what would you say is a fair price for a two-bedroom unit in the Buller Bay development?
$900,000?
That's probably high.
Okay,
Let's say $650,000. For the sake of being fair, let's say $600,000.
Sure.
So there's 700 of them. Not all of them go for $600,000, but...
Right.
There's the penthouses and stuff go for a lot more. So we'll be very conservative and say 600,000. With 700 units at 600,000, that's $420 million.
Right.
Right. And the Sharks take 20 mil.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that 20 mil in addition to what they've already received, though,
Yes.
Well?
So yes.
So in total...
30 mil.
Right. Is it that black and white, though?
That's what, in the annual report...
I know you're approximating that what you just did, but is it that black and white? So you're saying we get 30 mil and they get 400 mil, the builders.
390.
Sorry.
But they also have to build the thing.
Yeah.
Right? So they have to... All the costs of building the seven towers down there, all the labour, the development application, the talking to local politicians, there's a significant cost involved in that. So the 400... 20 million, that's not profit. They have significant costs out of that. But only you as a listener can make a determination as $30 million total, giving away that entire land, building however many units that are there, whether that's a good outcome. You have to make the determination. I guess you can feel where I sit on the...
Short term it is. Short term being 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on with retail? Because aren't they supposed to get a substantial amount of the income from retail in the future years, which is maybe where they'll make up the money?
Well, for those that don't live in the Sutherland Shire and don't attend Sharks leagues regularly, you'll notice that where there was supposed to be a shopping centre is still the car park as it has been for... How long has that car park been there?
A long time.
69?
I don't know, yeah.
Anyway, it's still a car park. There was supposed to be a retail shopping center slash club upgrade slash restaurant slash. There were supposed to be facilities built there.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's correct. And they're not, right? And
but there's still a plan to do it.
There is a plan to do it. And judging by rumors, which I can only attribute to the fact that they came out on Sharkcast Radio because we're the only people talking about this, there was a story in the Leader which quashed these quote-unquote rumors, which was basically political spin. They said that there's a development application in front of council. They wanted 220 more units added to the retail side on top of where the units were supposed to be. So everything had ground to a halt while that was approved. Now, my understanding was they needed the 220 more units to get finance to build the retail thing.
Right.
And the word on the street is that there isn't money to build the retail side. That's why they put the units on top of the development application, which I believe will be knocked back. Now, what you have to understand is there is no community goodwill for more units. When they put this original development application through with Damien Irvine and Bluestone, you didn't have high rises everywhere at every point in the Sutherland Shire.
True.
The community are now completely over it. And it's not going to wash the older sharks need saving anymore. There's no goodwill for more units. You ask any resident around here, they don't want 220 more units anywhere, whether it's the sharks or whether it's in Cronulla. They just don't want it. They feel that the Shire has been overdeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no community goodwill for it. The council will try and knock it back. State government might push it through, but that's by the by. The retail side should have already been finished.
Yeah.
And people that have bought those units for 600, 700, 800,000 that are already there feel dudded because when they bought it, they're like, hey guys, I bought it thinking there was going to be shops, restaurants and facilities down there and they're not there.
Within a year or two and there's not even a starting date, so that's obviously pushed back.
There is no starting date. 2 years it's been pushed back for. And the story in the Leader about there hasn't been a funding discussion because there's a development application in front of the State Planning Committee, that's just a political loophole, right? My understanding is that Bluestone have come to the club. Now, this is not verified. This is rumor. I'll be clear about that. My understanding is that Bluestone went to the Sharks and said, we don't have money for the retail side. We need to come to some agreement so that we can do the retail side and improve the club. Right? Because the club is supposed to be a beneficiary out of this. Let's work out a way to do it. Now, the Sharks have got two options there. They say, okay, it's in everyone's best interest that we work together and find a solution. Or B, we say to Bluestone, you're in breach of contract and we're going to sue you. And it gets messy and you go through. So you're really only going to go one way.
Yeah.
You're going to go the path of least resistance. So that's where we are. I have concerns about the whole thing, and that's technically why I was going to run for the board.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to Dino Mezzatesta about it. He has said that the debt, the $6 million debt, will be wiped in May, the whole thing.
Why is that?
Don't know. He just said there's money coming in.
Okay.
And that whole debt will be wiped. There's nothing about that in the annual report, but he states that there's money coming in.
Well, let's give him that chance in May. And
you can only give him that chance. I don't see where that money's coming, but we'll give him that chance. Mark McGaw has run for the board, asked him for more transparency around the development, and I think that that's a good... I can see you're looking at me. You're pulling a face. I think that's a great platform for him to run on regardless of his ability. There needs to be more transparency around the development.
I don't know Mark well enough to judge his ability. I like the idea of a former player coming in and all that sort of stuff, but sometimes a former player comes in, I don't know, they're a bit blindsided by things. They're a bit...
Yeah, I understand it totally. What the board needs to realise is that the club, they run the club on behalf of the members. You and I are members, right? Lynn, Matt Crosby, the people who listen to the Sharkcast, we are the members. we shouldn't be in a position where we have to speculate about what's happening with this multi-million dollar development.
This is true.
It should be out there for us. If it's going poorly, we should know about it. If it's going well, we should know about it. We should know how much money's coming in. We should know how much money's going out. We are the ones who own the club, and the board of directors act on our behalf. So Sparkles is well within his rights to say, well...
Of course he is. Of course he is.
There's not enough transparency around it.
And good on him for doing it.
So that's where we sit. We've got an AGM in a couple of weeks.
So he's running?
He's running.
Have you got other names for me at all?
No, it'll be released at the AGM.
Okay.
What I believe will happen is, though, that all of the guys that the vacant spots, the spots were declared vacant, will be filled by who left them, the incumbents,
yep,
so to speak, and will continue on with the same board. So I encourage you to get to the AGM and ask the questions that need to be asked.
Same board with the addition of anyone else or not?
What I understand, it'll be the same board. But I'm speculating.
If everyone votes for Mark McGaw, will he get in or does someone have to lose
their
seat?
Well, what I believe will happen is we'll find out if there's an election. So I think there were 6 spots advertised. If Mark McGaw is nominated, which I believe he has, he's the 7th. Mm. So there'll at least be an election for that one spot.
I'm sure other people will run for
someone
it.
Someone always runs.
It's a pretty hot spot to be in. Newman, let's brighten up a little bit.
Okay.
We had some good news during the week. And I'm not saying that stuff's not valid and important. You did a good job covering it. You're the political guy. I'm the other guy. Turn your porch lights off, baby. Do you remember that famous line from Paul Gallen?
It's in the start of our show.
Sure is. It will be forever. New book. We've been talking about it for a little while.
Yes, it's out.
I've got a copy for you. I do.
Oh, yes.
I will pass it on to you. It is by our friend Clinton Maynard. It's officially out.
Have you read it yet?
I haven't read the final product. I was lucky to read an early version of it. I'm sure it's changed a little bit. It looks really good. The final version of it looks great. Great packaging. At the moment, there's 3 places and 3 ways you can get it. And we encourage you to do one of these 3. You can buy it online and simply send Clinton an email. CronullaSharksBook@gmail.com. CronullaSharks with an S, book@gmail.com.
Okay, well, how much is the book?
$32 including delivery.
Good value.
Yeah. It's a 360-page book. It's not, he's not mucking around. That's one way. You can also go to the Cronulla Mall Bookshop, the best little bookshop in town.
Yeah.
It's $25 there. It's right next door to Nullarbor Cafe. You know where it is.
I know where it is.
They are selling it like hotcakes.
Yeah, they don't have much stock apparently.
It's coming and going. Yeah. The other way, which we would love you to do, is head on down to the Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, which is where we are right now.
Correct.
And they have a bunch of copies there, and you can pay it electronically, as the kids say. That's $25 there as well. So,
and while you're there, enter the tipping competition.
And look, I'm worried about my tips, Newman.
Match wits with me and Samuel.
Oh boy.
On tipping, it's $50 to join. You get a $25 cash back voucher. So it's really only $25. And it's a good tipping comp. You need to go down to enter, but week to week, you can just enter your tips on the net.
So while you're there, grab the book and also enter the competition. Mention us, get a garlic bread. It's a great place to be. So that's the book. The book's out. You'll be hearing a lot more about it. He's not doing much promo at all, Clinton. I'm going to let you know this. He won't like this. He was a little bit worried about people being interested in it. And I was like, dude, you're going to sell a lot of copies. And he's like, oh. And because he's self-publishing it at the moment, he's got all the costs. So it's obviously, it's a little business for him. But already he's super happy with the response. And it's just going to keep rolling. And once the media gets hold of it, it'll sell even more, far and wider. So we're happy to be involved with that. It's a really great book. You're going to love it, Newman.
I'm looking forward to reading it. We'll give you a full rundown and review of it. Have you ever thought about writing a book, Samuel?
Funny you say that. I was going to write a book about the Sharks winning the comp.
You went fast enough.
No, I was going to write a book, and I may still do it, about my life as a sports fan.
Yeah.
A lot of people have done it. But I've got some cool stories, which you feature in a lot of them. But just from being a kid to now. But anyway, that might happen in 10, 15 years' time. Someone else is writing a book. One of our listeners, I can't remember who it is. They're going to kill me. But they're also working on a Sharks book. So it's great that it's inspired all this creativity. For the moment, though, Clinton's the man.
I wanted to write a book about the Asada thing.
there is some of that in this book.
Yeah, but it's, I wanted to write like rosy. A detailed account of what happened to the Sharks, but then I would have had, I might wait until the likes of Flano and Gowler retired to get their unbiased view on it.
I reckon someone else might beat you to that, Newman, or be interested in, someone a bit closer to the source might have an even more interesting take on that. So we'll hold, just wait and see it. Hold that idea, Newman.
I'm not racing out to start it, am I?
Did you or did you not take the drugs? Oh, we're getting off path.
Imagine interviewing, what's his name? What was his name? Keith. Remember the press conference saying, oh, Keith, what was his name?
Keith, yeah, Keith. I can't remember. The board member.
Yeah, the board member who got chucked because Damo was away.
Damo was at Disneyland riding roller coasters.
Oh.
I'm kidding, Damien. He knows I'm kidding. I've been corresponding with him all week.
I know, yeah. So
Damo, I'm kidding. That's what some people in the world would like you to believe he was doing.
I know.
Man, we're fired up today, Newman.
We're cutting through the big issues.
You know what else is going on?
What?
Newtown Jets.
Yeah, I went to the launch last night.
How was it?
Great. Good night out, but I'll tell you what. I've got to tell you. The Newtown Jets launch was a crazy thing, right? So, you know what the Newtown Jets are all about. They are not a modern football club.
Pride, passion.
The old school.
Old school.
I mean, if you look up old school rugby league in the dictionary, the Newtown Jets basically operate like it's still 1981, okay? And there's a Sydney competition.
A year out of business, huh?
Yeah. So I went to the launch last night because I'll be calling Newtown games for Steel Sports.
What about that?
I'm looking very much forward to it.
Congratulations.
And it was at the Petersham RSL, which is an old school venue, and there are a lot of old school players there, like Cole Murphy and Phil Gould. Those kinds of guys. But the president of the Newtown Jets gets up and he starts telling these, like just talking about how hard the club have had it. Mm. And he mentioned, and no one in the room knew this, he's like, we kept this secret, but there was a time in December where they didn't know whether the Jets were going to be able to continue in the New South Wales Cup. So that would have been it. And now they have assurances from the New South Wales Rugby League that they will be in the New South Wales Cup while that competition runs, right? And they've signed a deal with the Sharks. They're a bit standoffish about the Sharks. They've been burnt by the Sharks a couple of times. So we got up there, and he's been president since 1984. So they got kicked out in 1983.
It's a good stint.
Right? And he ran the club 11 years. They didn't have a team.
Until, what was he doing?
Well, they kept the committee going, but they didn't have a team till like the Metro Cup 1992 or something like that. And he was just ripping into people, basically saying that, like, I met this guy from West Magpies, and he was the biggest low grub I've ever met in my entire life. And this is like a formal event. Yeah. And then he's like, I met this guy from South Juniors, you know, Bill Smith, and he was the biggest prick I've ever met in my entire life. And just aired all of his dirty laundry. He named and shamed a few people from the Sharks over the years. Paul Tubridy was one.
Mm.
And he just absolutely ripped in, and I'm just sitting there going, this is incredible. You would just never hear that at anything else. But that's a boring story. Aside from that, it was a good night. They're very confident about their chances. Judging by the team named, let's run through the team now.
Well, we've got some Sharkies in there. We've got Will Kennedy, young Will Kennedy at fullback. Your man Jesse Ramin in the centres. Edric Lee, who we both have fondness for, is in the wing. One of the Jack Williams is at 5'8". Brock Lett is a prop. Blake Braley, future superstars at hooker. Scotty Sorensen, Anthony Moraitis, and the other Jack Williams is the back row. The great Billy Magoulias is also on the bench, which is a bit surprising.
Yeah.
And he also didn't feature in the NRL squad. So they look pretty good, the rest of them are Newtown players.
I know, but there's a large contingent of Sharks players there, and that's why they're very confident about their chances this year. So Flano's made a lot of assurances to the Jets that they're going to have a lot more players than they have previously. So they're very confident. Now, to follow the Jets' fortunes, get onto Steel Sports. That's Steel with an E at the end. Follow them on Facebook. Follow them online. And they'll cover most of the Jets games on internet radio, those that aren't on TV anyway, on
so this,
Fox.
So this Saturday, Newman, 4:30 in Wyong, they're playing the Wyong Roos.
Yes, and I hope the Jets do well. Now, other news, there is another podcast out there in the mix.
There's a podcast every day starting. Which one are you talking about?
Fins Up.
Oh, Fins Up. Yeah, I had a listen to that today.
Yes.
Some of our followers on Sharkcast Pod Twitter, especially.
Yeah, Southo Dan and I Mortz, or Southo Dan and Terry Mortimer, have started a podcast. Their shtick is it's an NRL-based podcast that's got a hugely biased shark's eye. So Check it out. It's called Fins Up.
Fins Up.
What is it on Podbean?
It was on Podbean that I listened to. I'm sure they'll get it onto other... You know, it's like the first week you have a podcast, you're like, what the hell do I do?
Yeah.
It'll be on other platforms very shortly, I'm sure. So we wish them all the best.
All right. That wraps us up for the news for another week. We're going to cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have the letters. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Let's have a look. He's got the ball. He's got the ball. He's got the leg out. The leg's out. The Sharks will win. The leg is out. The Sharks will win.
The Sharks have just realised, looking at the big screen, there's a foot gone out. The crowd.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home.
Welcome back to the show. It's come to that time where we go out the front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Ettinghausen Lane, Woolooware, and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot, the letters. You can get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the handle @SharkCastPod. We need your input, so make sure you write to us because we are nothing without you. What is the first cab we have off the rank this weekend, Samuel?
We have one of our favourites, Troy from Maitland, one of the great guys in the world.
We were starting to wonder where he was.
Well, I've got good news for you. He said life's good. He's spending a lot of time in the truck, but as he says, you've got to earn. He's glad to have the Sharkcast back to pass the hours. Now, he's got a new truck, and he got rid of some of the old Shark stickers that he had, but he's got the 2018 member sticker. He's happy. The only thing he's not happy about, which we'll get into maybe the next segment, yep, he said, Seguiaro WTF, which is what the young people say, why the freak? Why the face?
Yeah.
I thought it was why the freak. Thank you very much, Troy.
All right, we got one from Sam Hughes, and Sam says, another fantastic pod this week with Jardian Ormsby. I love hearing about where everyone was on the fateful night in October 2016. Mm. He still gets emotional when we hear guys talking about it. He says he is in New Zealand, but hope to make it to Mount Smart in round 16. He says, what is the best type of membership for an overseas fan?
So, there is one.
Yeah.
Interstate and overseas.
My idea, yeah, you buy an interstate/overseas membership. The best thing to do is ring the club and talk to the membership gurus there.
Tell them we sent you.
There are probably two options. There's an interstate overseas membership, which gives you a couple of tickets. But if you're not going to come to any games, just buy a non-ticketed membership and you get the hat and you get the lanyard and you get to say that you're supporting the club. But the fact that he's not coming to games but interested in buying a membership says a lot about Sam.
One word, legendary.
Correct.
Now, we've got a letter from Jono Stege. Did I go to high school with Jono Stege?
Stege is a very prominent name in the Cronulla area.
Is it really?
That is right. There are a lot of the Stege boys around. If you surf out the alley, they've probably dropped in on you a couple of times.
Is there more than one Jono?
I don't think so, but there's like multi-generations of Steges.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says, hey, fellas, listening to the Trials podcast, one of our recent ones, in Japan at Narita Airport. He had a couple of weeks in the snow, much like yourself, Newman. So he's enjoying listening to that. He said a rugby league in Japan would work. They would follow, punt, and go for it.
Yeah, he also said, how good's Japan? He highly recommends it as the best place to travel in the world. And, mate, I had a great trip there. I don't know how they'd go with rugby league when Japan, you've probably never been. Have you ever been?
No, I've been close very, very many times. One of my best friends lives
there.
They
zag when you think they're going to zig. Everything's a bit different over there.
Oh, yeah. So, that's what makes it so cool.
I mean, rugby league could be a runaway success or it could be the most unpopular thing in the world.
Well, I think the rugby goes okay over there to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although I was there and never heard one thing about rugby. The other thing was, like, I was there, I didn't see, like, any TVs playing any kind of sport in any bar.
Oh, but they're mad about baseball and soccer.
I know, but you know how, like, I like to spend time in bars.
You do.
Not one TV showing it.
Sumo?
The Winter Olympics were on. And there was none of that.
No sumo?
No.
What was on?
Nothing.
Just karaoke TV.
Just, yeah.
I'm stereotyping. You got one from Michael.
Yeah, Michael from Canberra says, Sparkles McGaw wants to shed light on development concerns. Given you guys said what we said on the podcast, there's got to have, he has to ask some questions here. I agree.
Refer to segment two.
Yeah. Already covered it, Mike.
We appreciate you.
When are you coming
up
to Sydney? Let's have a drink.
Yeah. He'll be at the Derby, surely.
Yeah.
That's next week, dude.
It is.
Wow.
Craig from Guymere. What's he got?
He is wondering about sponsorship on the jersey. He's wondering if there's any news in some of that sponsorship being filled up because there's a few empty holes there. Also, he caught the Celebrate Rifles and the Sunny Boys at the Factory a few weeks ago. Oldies but goldies.
Celebrate Rifles, you know, I'm a big fan, Samuel. I know you're a bit lukewarm on them. But
Respect.
I love the Rifles, and that would have been... Apparently, that gig went off. Sunny Boys don't play too often anymore, do they?
They're back a little bit, but no. I mean, they're rare shows, I'd imagine.
Yep. In terms of sponsorship, we're never blessed with a full deck. You know, there's always spaces available.
I think Barry Russell might have something to say about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got plans in place, but it's a slow... You know, you sign... The two main spots are filled, Opal Solar and Bang & Olufsen, right?
Yeah.
And the stadium sponsor is Southern Cross Group Stadium. So...
You can always find room in a jersey.
That's right. And we've got Blades... So the main spots are filled, but those little cream sponsorship spots, yeah, we're lacking there. And hopefully I don't have any mail at all. And Barry Russell only just started. So I wouldn't imagine that anything will be announced in the short term.
Historically, Newman, last 10 years at least, we always see a sponsor jump on mid-year.
Yeah, I know.
That's a big news story.
Remember the Grolly days? We had such good sponsors.
Yeah, I do remember.
Reebok. Like, Reebok are a global brand.
That was pretty good.
Like, to be fair to Opal Solar, you know.
Who we love.
They're not a global brand on the scale of Reebok. And then Pepsi, like, one of the biggest companies of all time.
Yeah, but if you look at other NRL clubs these days, maybe it's more of a level playing field. Like, did Pepsi or Reebok sponsor you on these days? You know what I mean? Like,
no.
They were crazy times.
I know, but, you know, LG.
We did good. LG, yeah.
Again, they're another massive global brand that anyone in any country knows who Reebok, Pepsi, and
Hisense?
Hisense, you're battling a bit more there, but, you know.
I remember because you always try and look after your sponsors, and you look at the TV, the Hisense ones, wow.
Yeah.
They're like $700 for a 300-centimeter TV. Duh. Okay.
Although I have seen some nice Hisense TVs.
I'm not knocking Hisense. They did a good job for us. Again, our friend Damien's listening. They did a good job for us.
Fisherman's Friend, right? That was one of my favourite ones.
We're going to get it. It's the first official episode. You know, we get locked down, man.
Come on, man. Go. What was your favourite Sharks front of jersey sponsor ever?
The energy drink one.
Shark energy that you couldn't buy anywhere.
I've got a can at work. I'm scared it's going to blow up.
I don't think I've ever... I had a drink of Shark energy drink when I was in, like, Thailand.
Here's a good Damien Irvine story for you, and I don't know if he's... I think he's heard this one. When it broke that they were going to be the sponsor, we were playing at Parramatta Stadium. I'm guessing we played Parramatta. Might have been a Monday night game. And a good colleague of mine was doing the stats at Fox Sports in the box, Warren Smith, all those guys. And Damien popped his head in with, like, you know, a 12-pack of the drink.
Shark energy drink,
yeah. But he was all pepped up on it. And he was, like, bursting from the walls, doing his spiel. And my friend said it was amazing. He goes, oh, yeah, I've had, like, four already today. Mind you, he wasn't sleeping back then. Damo, I'm not going to mention you again, okay?
But Fisherman's Friend was my favorite. Like, were they the only club of any sport to be sponsored by a breath mint?
You know, they always had such a bad reputation as far as, like... Like, I remember, like, school teachers who you were scared of would have fisherman friends, and they were, like, the strong ones that you would never, ever buy. But for some reason, some 50-year-old man who you're scared of is, you know, sucking on a fisherman friend.
It's just a weird product. Like, it's not nice.
Well, it's just... You know what, Newman? It was nice at the time.
I bought, the day they announced it, we stopped at a service station. We were driving up from the coast and bought some fisherman's friend.
Look
and we're
you.
Like,
wow.
Welcome aboard, guys. We've had some great spots. Ronson.
Yeah.
And Aussie Ducked.
I think the first one when I started following him, it might have been the end of correct me if I'm wrong, the Clean Away, is that, or Clear Away?
Yeah,
Clean Away.
Clean Away. Yeah.
Are they
Clean
still
away.
Going?
Yeah, they're a bin company.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clean Away with the Sharks. There's still, if you know where to go in Cronulla, there's still a sticker on a road sign down near Allura that says Clean Away with the Sharks.
Yeah, nice.
That's pretty good going. We also had two beer sponsors. Now, if anyone can write into us and shed light.
I know one.
On Brewers.
Yeah.
And Powers.
And Powers. Was one of them a Brisbane-based beer, or am I making that up?
I think Powers, because Powers sponsored the Broncos at the same time.
Mm.
So, write into us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and tell us your memories of either Brewers beer
if we don't
or
hear
Powers
from Craig,
beer. Craig doesn't listen to us anymore. I'm going to put that out there.
Why?
I don't know.
Too corporate. Too political.
Too something. Too many personalities, not enough talk about football.
I'm on his side. I'm kidding. Oh, my God.
But I'm going to put it out there and say Craig does not listen to Sharkcast Pod anymore and hasn't for a long
period
of time.
We're not for everyone.
That's
been proven
over years.
But if you
want to talk about the interview series, you want to talk about mega fans, I'd love to have an interview with Craig.
Well, we can do that.
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of personal feedback about a couple of interviews that I did. I only did them on my own because you were not able to be there, I should point out.
Sam's trying to push me out of the podcast, by the way.
I've been trying. It just doesn't work. I would love to interview Craig. I'd love to interview Nathan Hunt. I'd love to interview everyone because everyone wants to tell us about their grand final memories for starters, and I would love to hear.
What did you say? You'd love to interview who? Everyone.
Craig, Nathan Hunt, everyone.
What about interviewing Gavin Miller?
Yeah, he'd be on the list. But what I'm saying is we don't have the time to do everyone, but we'd love to.
Mm.
So it's not like...
I've got to give a bit of a backstory. We could have had Gav Miller here tonight. Sam knocked it on the head.
Yeah, that's not really... Don't believe Newman. That's not true.
It's true.
It's not true.
I'm going to publish the text message.
We've still got letters to go, my friend.
All right.
Speaking of Nathan Hunt, I want you to read what he's generously written.
Hang
to
on. Let me bring up what he said. Hey, gents. Nathan. Legend, Nathan. I thought the first 40 minutes in the games against the Tigers and Manly were very good in attack, but a little clunky in some aspects, but they will work themselves out as the season goes. I found that Bakuya was looking very fit and bending the line every time.
Bustling.
Good point, because I thought Bakuya was excellent in the trials.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think he's an underrated talent.
All right, so the next... Thanks for writing in, Nathan.
This is my favorite of the week.
Okay.
Only just because everyone rules. It's from Sharky Shane on Twitter. And he says, at Sharkcast Pod, hey guys, can you make me a Sharkcast Pod flanno? I love me some flannos.
The answer to that is no.
We'd like to. That's the answer.
You can make it and give it to him. My answer is no, I wouldn't even know how to start making a flanno. And the last email that we have, we've got two more emails. So can you do this one, Michael?
Yeah, Michael is a regular Twitter correspondent. He's talking about the game this week because someone has to, Newman. You and I are clearly not. We're kidding. Hang on for the next segment. Flano's going to need to drum into the team to do the basics right. Ball control, discipline, kick chase. Feel like our defense will be good, but we need high completion rates. As cliched as that is, Michael, it is the absolute truth, and good on you for stating that.
If you don't complete highly against the Cowboys, good night, sweet prince. Last email that we got is from Luke Cavell at Benora Point.
Never heard of him.
And he says, I've got a tip for you this year, boys. Be good to your mother.
Okay, I can do my best there. Thanks, Luke.
So that's the letters section. Make sure you write into a sharkcastpod at gmail.com. Or find a Sharkcast pod on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. But email us because so many platforms, it's kind of hard to keep track sometimes. You do a pretty good job of it, Samuel.
Thanks, man.
Five gongs for the men from Cronulla. It comes back for Kamali to go to Cavell. He's put it down for a try.
Got it down.
Straight up above to Neil Tuaki. And Hampstead has asked the touch judge, what have you seen? And he wants to have a look at the put-down. Well, he's the high-flying Luke Cavell.
Welcome back to the show, Sharkcast Radio, the voice of the fans. And after a long and boring and hot and useless off-season, finally, we are knocking on the door of round one. I imagine that most people will be listening to this on Thursday, which means that the game is tomorrow, Friday evening. They say 7:45, but it'll more likely be an 8 o'clock, quarter past 8 kickoff. Make sure you've got some Shark Island Brewing Company beers in the fridge or you head down to the Royal Motor Yacht Club to watch the game on the big screen if you're looking for somewhere to go. I, for mine, no bias at all, I think that this is the game of the round. Probably up there with, it's a Penrith and Parramatta's a speculative one. There's a lot of hype around those teams, which is unproven.
Yeah.
But I think you could genuinely be looking at this year's grand finalists.
Two strong squads, two teams with some recent history of not liking each other. It's pretty cool.
It's a good game. And, I mean, you look at the team, the Cowboys, they made the grand final last year on the back of Michael Morgan and Jason Taumalolo. And then it's essentially like they've recruited that guy whose name we won't mention.
And Matty Scott.
And Matty Scott.
And Jordan McLean from the Storm.
Yeah, so their team has vastly improved. Our team is a little bit of an unknown quantity because we have lost a couple of players, but we've also gained some real quality. Will we gel quick enough to win on Friday night, Sam?
I don't know the answer to that. From what I saw in the trials, they're a little bit ahead of where I thought they'd be, so I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's for 80 minutes, I can't tell you. The Cowboys have had a better preseason. They've played a more high-profile game in harpoon-like weather, as we say here at Sharkcast Pod.
Which they won.
Yeah, on the bell, thanks to someone giving a little banana kick. Lachlan Coote, their fullback, is out, and Ben Hampton's playing there, so that's okay. Some little bonus for us. I have a team for you, Newman.
Yes, this is exciting. I was excited when the email pinged in my inbox yesterday.
We have at fullback, Valentine the Future Holmes. On wings, we have Sasaya Fekie. And we have Sione Katoa on debut. In the centres, we have Josh Dugan, the new boy, and a rookie, the tackle, Letelli. The halves, Matty Moylan on debut for the Sharks. Chad Townsend, strong preseason from Chad. Front row, Andrew Fifita, Jaden Brayley, Matty Pryor. Back row, Luke Lewis. And our co-captains, Wade Graham and Paul Gallen. On the interchange bench, playing his 150th NRL game, Jason Pecuia. James Seguiaro.
Yeah, you're as surprised as I am.
Big Ava is the third interchange, and Joseph Captain America Paulo. Now, that's the immediate interchange for now.
Yep.
Then we have the extended bench of Kurt Capewell, Kurt Dillon, who, if he plays, will be on debut, Aaron Gray, another new recruit, as well as Trent Hodgkinson. Now, team flies out Thursday morning. I'm led to believe the two players not
traveling.
They'll be cut tomorrow and they won't be traveling, so we'll know that.
Yep.
And then an hour before kickoff, we'll know now, the actual lineup.
At the Jets launch last night, they were convinced, the Jets squad and Matto, the Jets coach, that Kurt Dillon was getting his NRL debut on Friday night.
He was on the back page of the Telegraph.
Yeah. So that's whether or not that's right or wrong or indifferent. I'm only passing on what I heard last night at the Jets launch, but they were congratulating him on stage about being given his NRL debut. And I'm like, he's not in the 17.
I wonder if they were going from the story or if they actually know.
I would think that Matto would know because he knows what players he's going to get. I just hope that the selection of Seguiaro is like Flano trying to play Ducks and Drakes and throw a smoke because I can't. How did they pick him? Explain how he picks him.
I can't do that. Now, if Kurt Dillon plays, either Seguiaro or Captain America will fall off the bench. One of the two. They won't both play. No. At this stage, it is possible they could both play. That would be disappointing because, A, we don't believe that Seguiaro is in form, and, B, it would mean Captain America's playing more of a prop-like...
He'd be playing a middle role.
Which is not his strength.
No.
He's a ball-playing forward, but he's not really a hit-up guy.
No.
So if that was to happen, it's not the strongest team they can put out. So we are hoping that Flano doesn't make some changes. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. And
like, I mean, maybe Hodkinson's there just out of respect. Or maybe he's the smoky. Maybe he is going to be the utility guy. We can't tell.
Does Flano have a history of pulling... I'm answering my own question halfway through. He genuinely does this. He won't name a player on Tuesday that's getting their debut. It's always like a game day thing.
Right.
He even did it with Val Holmes. Like, Val Holmes wasn't named... when he made his debut on the wing, it's got included on game day.
He has named Katoa, which is exciting.
That is.
So that goes against the grain, but you are right. I agree with what you're saying. For Kurt Dillon to be on the back page of the paper, would they run a story about a guy who's going to be like in the extended bench? I don't know.
Yeah, it seems weird. Like with so many rugby league stories flying around,
yeah.
You know, the whole Matt Lodge thing and all that.
I'd love to see him get a shot for a few reasons, mainly because he's earned it, but also he's a big boy and he hits it hard.
Old school player.
And I think that if you have Pecuya, Seguiaro, Ava and Paulo, I mean, two of those guys are big, one's a prop. It's one prop out of four.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like our middles, that's where our squad's strong overall.
Yeah.
But if you're going to point to one weakness, it's probably in the middles depth. So, you know, if Kurt Dillon can do a job for us and punch out, you know, 20 solid good minutes where
he can play a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting he will, but he has the ability to.
So anyway, that's what I heard at the Jets launch, and I don't know if that's true or not, but they were convinced that that was happening. I can't see how Seguiaro got picked.
A lot of my mates at work kind of razz me about it. They think that I have something against the guy, and I don't. It's not personal. You don't have anything against the guy. It's not personal. We've watched him closely, and his service from dummy half is astonishingly not good. What I don't understand, Newman, is you want someone who's either going to pick it up and run or have quick service and throw it accurately. The majority of what I've seen from him in preseason, and especially last year...
He does neither well.
He just sort of spends 3 seconds not knowing what to do. You look left, look right, look behind him.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all.
You pick the ball up and then go, okay, maybe I'm going to have a run. And then by the time he's decided what he's going to do, everybody else's timing's out. I mean,
yeah.
You can blow smoke up Cameron Smith's butt all day long, but you look what he does. He gets in a dummy half. If his half needs good service, he puts the ball on his chest as quick as he can. If he's going to run and catch the defense napping, he picks it up and runs. Or if he wants to engage the marker so that he gives his half more time, he picks it up, takes one step, engages the marker, and moves the ball on. Seguiaro does none of that.
Yeah. Now, he was interviewed this week, and he did mention that he has had two broken arms in, I think, two or three seasons. He did have a broken arm last year. He wasn't looking for excuses, but it's a clean slate now. If he is picked, we are supporting you. Go out and do your best. But at the moment, boy, he's going to have to do something miraculous.
Yeah, he's going to have to be good. But we shouldn't It's a shame that we're spending so much time talking about him when, you know, Sione Katoa is going to make his debut.
Oh, yeah. And let's talk about
someone
that.
Someone was talking about how much he looks like Chika Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the way he moves, how electric he is.
Probably a bit tougher, a bit more stronger upper body. And
robust, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and
probably quicker, but it's not a bad comparison.
And, you know, the impact of Moisa, what Dugan's going to do for us, that's the kind of stuff we need to be talking about.
I want Dugan to be, I won't say heavily involved, but I want him to be involved at the very least. Like, he was a bit quiet in the trial. In the last real matches we saw him play for Australia, he was really classy. And we want to see that.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that, actually.
He's going to sit back a bit?
I think he's going to sit back a bit and try and find his place in the team.
Which I understand. Have
the occasional classy touch, but I don't think Josh Dugan's going to come out and dominate round one. I just don't think he will. Same with Moisa. I don't think...
Who's going to do it then?
It's going to come down to your Wade Grahams and your Chad Townsend. I think Chad Townsend's going to have a much more dominant role this year.
Mm.
And I think they're going to be looking at Val and Katoa and Fecky, those and Lukey Lewis to lead the attack.
Well, with all those guys there, what I'm saying is, as you said, the occasional touch from Dugan, it'll go down nicely.
Yeah. I mean, Dugan's going to cause problems on an edge. You go to his side, he's strong, he's quick. It's just the Cowboys' defense is good, so it's not like it's going to be a tight game. Now, predictions. What are you predicting, Samuel?
Predicting that Cronulla are going to go very close to winning. It'll be probably down to 4 points, the difference. I'm hoping we're going to win. We've got a decent record against them in recent times.
Yeah, run me through this stuff. Make me feel better.
Overall, Newman, the Cowboys have won only 17 of the 44 games.
Is that right?
So they have a 38% winning record against us. 10 of the past 12 have been decided by 12 points or less, so it will be close. Cronulla's won 12 of 22 up there. But recent times, it's been Cowboys winning 10 of 15. So,
but we've won up there recently, though.
We have. It's not a place that we fear. The good news is we won 10 of 12 matches away from home last year.
We did. We were good on the road.
So imagine if we win, I don't know, even three more, let alone five or six more at home. That's a good year.
2016, we played up there round one. And it was the same story. No one gave us a hope.
Given the year before, we lost by 100 to nil or whatever.
Yep.
In the final.
Yeah, and they'd won the comp. They were, you know, it was, and they were heavy favourites, and we went up there and nearly did it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there'll be any. I don't think we'll hold a lot of fear.
It's not often that our team in the last 4 years has been smashed. Like, there's been the occasional kind of lapping, but they're a pretty competitive bunch.
Now, I'm not tipping us, and if you go down to the RMYC and log on to the tipping competition down there, you'll see that I didn't tip us. But that's not because I don't believe the team can win.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I am such a cynic about the NRL and the NRL media riding certain personalities home that I feel that we're just going to be so hard up against it this week because, you know, it's a milestone game for that guy. The media's been all over him. He's a darling. It's a home game for the Cowboys, and they want the Cowboys to win.
Yeah, I don't know, Newman. I'm coming
across as that guy now.
You are, only for the first time since I've known you. I feel like that is all true. I feel like you're almost reaching for an excuse there, Newman. Using it as an excuse.
What? An excuse for?
Oh, we didn't win because we weren't close because it was his 300th.
We're close. I don't think we'll get lapped, but I just...
Why can't they win?
Well, in a close game like that, you need things to go in your favour.
I understand.
What's going to go in our favour?
Well, you're not suggesting that last year we were penalised unfairly, are you?
In the being semi-final against the Cowboys.
The whole year, being the most penalised team in the comp. There's a reason why you're the most penalised team in the comp.
I know.
Even if you take away the speculative ones.
You and I, I'm realistic about that. I just think that in a game like that, in an environment like that, the 50-50s just go against you by that very nature.
It'll
be close. You don't get the 50-50s, so therefore you lose. But we have the team and the capability to win. We will beat the Dragons round two. I'm putting that in. Lock it in. Guarantee.
Well, my year's ruined if we don't.
Guarantee, 100% categorical guarantee. They'll lose this week, the Dragons.
You think?
And they'll lose next week. They'll be none from two.
I think that it could come down to goal kicking.
Now, this is an interesting point because we have been blessed with a good goal kicker where we basically score a try and 8 out of 10 times we're going to kick that goal no matter where the try is scored.
Dean Carney, Mitch Healy, Matt Rogers.
Leaping Luke Cavell from Benora Point.
Leaping Luke Cavell, etc. But yeah, we had Maloney for a couple of years, who was fantastic. He's not even... they're going to be their main goal kicker at Penrith.
I know.
Wow.
Cleary's kicking at 86% or something.
Wow, he's at 90. Chatty looked okay. Val looked okay. I think Moyes looked okay too, but boy, I don't know if we're going to be relying... we want to be relying on them to win us the game.
No, it could come down to that. And then, of course, the Cowboys have that guy kicking their goals who kicks at a high rate. So
is it going to annoy you, Newman, if... say, for example, I'm not going to say Valentine. Say Moylan, you're quite a fan of him at the moment. Say he misses a relatively easy goal to lose the game.
Yes, it will annoy me.
I know it'll annoy you, but if like every Shark person aside from me turns on him on the internet, would you feel a bit sorry for him or not? Because he's not really... they're not specialised goal kickers. I know they have a job, they're professionals. But I mean... is it on the coach's job to like get the best goal kicker possible? Are they the best we can get? You know, do you know what I'm trying to say here?
I vaguely understand your point, but if he misses an easy goal and loses the game...
not easy. Say it's like 10 metres from touch.
Look.
A gettable one.
You pay to play rugby league, right? You go to training all day to play rugby league. You should be a good goal kicker.
But they're not.
I know.
The three of them are not.
No.
They're not bad. But they're not good. And I feel a bit sorry for each and every one of them. I'm just going to put that one out there.
You're such a nice guy. This
is
your
problem. I'm not a nice guy.
This is your problem. You're too nice.
You've heard what I say about people. I'm not a nice guy.
When? I never hear. You're always like, quote unquote, pulling me down off the building the way I'm blowing up at people.
Oh, man. Boy, oh, boy. I go to the gym to work out just to give me strength to pull you down off the building.
I know. You're always like, Newman, don't jump.
That's how you are, man. I don't want to change that.
I know. But here's hoping that we blow them off the park.
Yeah.
I am saying, though, I am not going to sit here if we lose next week and be negative.
Oh, boy. I was thinking about that, actually, Newman. The first loss of the first week, which, again, we're hoping it's not going to happen.
No.
I'm thinking it actually won't, but... oh, man. Oh, the man. Weight of the world internet. On me from the internet world.
The internet. The internet.
Sam, what are you going to do about it? Sam, do something. Tell Flatto.
We didn't win away against the Premiership favourites round one. Oh, my God.
I always think back to 15, 2015, and we lost the first four. And fair enough, we didn't win the comp. We had a great year.
Yeah.
But remember us, and it was our debut year of podcasting. And we were like, oh, boy. Yeah, I think about that year. I think about that year since when it's just like... because I don't have the stat near me, but I can tell you our opening round record is horrendous.
If you talk
for a minute, I will find it for you right now. Keep talking.
I'm trying to think back to when we won round one.
I just bear with me here.
I cannot remember. There was a game... there was a year where we beat with Penrith in the rain... round one at home, Trent Barrett's first year. That was the last time we won round one.
That kick, he put up a bomb and caught it, didn't he?
Yep. What do you got? That's how far back up. What's that, 2010?
I can't find it, but look, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like 3 of 12. We might tweet it out, but... We're not trying to bring you guys down. I think it's going to be competitive. I think it's 50-50, and you're saying it probably isn't because of the refs, and I respect that. But, yeah, we have a really bad starting record. You know who's got a good starting record, and you don't like talking about them? The Melbourne Storm. They haven't lost a round one game since 2001.
They never lose, though. They lose.
I know, but the coach is so pepped up at the start of the year. He's just like, don't lose round one. If you lose round one, year's off.
And they're playing the Dogs.
Oh, they're going to win.
Yeah, they're sure things. All right, that wraps us up for another episode of Shark Cast Radio. Thanks for coming along for the journey. It was a lot of fun. We're going to end, as we do every week when it's not winning, with Hope by the Descendants. I have been Newman.
I've been Sam Schnauzer. Don't forget to go buy Clinton Maynard's book. You can find it online, and you can find it at this beautiful yacht club and also at the local Cronulla bookstore. It'll be other places too, but just go buy it. Thanks very much.
And as we say every week,
go you Sharkies, time to win, baby!